All right. So we have the zero gravity, some of the zero gravity people here. Who are you?
My name's Casey Rail. I'm an interactive developer at Terraliever.
Excellent.
I'm Scott McAndrew. I'm director of strategy for Terraliever.
Nice. And you used to work on our team.
I did work on the team up here at DPE for a while.
Yeah.
We're up in Redmond being interviewed, obviously. I worked here for a little bit, and a lot of good people, a lot of smart people. Kind of wasn't for me and my family there and whatnot, and moved on, but still obviously working with Microsoft.
Outstanding. So let's talk a little bit about this app. What is Zero Gravity?
Zero Gravity is a puzzle game, hopefully fun, hopefully addictive. That's the design goal. Built in the Silverlight 1.1 alpha, using C#, 99% managed code, a little bit of JScript in there, but it's pretty much what it is.
So what was the dev experience like? I mean, you were using Visual Studio 2000. What were you using?
Using Orcus.
Orcus.
Visual Studio, I think, 9 beta is what it is. And then the 1.1 alpha tools.
Excellent.
So overall, I'd say that the development experience for me was positive.
Mm-hmm.
My background, just so you understand a little bit of the context, you know, of where I'm coming from, was primarily in Java. That's what I was schooled in. It's what I learned traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved into ActionScript several years ago, and I've been doing ActionScript, large-scale kind of ActionScript applications since then. So Silverlight was my first step back into C# since my academic days, and I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more familiar language, much more, I don't know if I want to say advanced, but it's a much more familiar language for a traditional computer science type person.
Sure.
And getting back into something like that, moving away from ActionScript, was fun for a change. The underlying technology of Silverlight, I think, has got a lot of potential. It's got an amazing amount of potential. And it is an alpha product, so obviously there were some issues in the development process. But the overall impression that I got was that once the product makes release, it's going to have a significant impact in the market space. So I think that's going to be good. I think that's going to drive some competition that up till now has not existed in that space. And it should be good. It should be fun for the development community.
Absolutely.
And kind of, I mean, that was what the game was all about for Terraliever in a lot of ways was let's take it for a test drive and see what we can make it do. We do a lot of game development. We do online marketing. So for a lot of companies, that means you're a web shop, but we do all sorts of stuff. We do Facebook development. We do widgets and gadgets and games and lots of stuff. So when we decided we were going to test drive the platform, you know, the public release right now is nice and can do a lot of things, but JScript isn't the way to go for us as a company. So when we looked at the 1.1 alpha, we tried to... I'm the strategy guy, so we pumped as much as we could into it. So we wanted to have streaming video. We wanted to do asynchronous calls. We wanted to post high scores. We wanted to time how long people take to do a certain level to see if it's a good level or a bad level. We're working on a level editor. I think the levels are stored as XML data.
Yeah, they're all XML specified, as well as the metadata for the game, the scoring, the progression, all that stuff. So what we wanted to do was try to build a community around the game, if at all possible, by releasing the level editor at some point, let people potentially build new levels, and then find some way to get them, incorporate them back into the game.
So. Interesting. Cool. So, I mean, you know, you mentioned you don't want to use JScript because of what? Performance issues? I mean, the benefit of JScript is you have support.
Performance.
Yeah,
I think the, you know, more and more, I think, because I think there's a lot of talk around designers and developers and that design dev guy that kind of sits in the middle. And I think when you get to something more complicated like game development, what you actually want is a developer in a lot of situations. And then that designer-developer workflow comes up. But, like, in this role, I think I was reading Casey's blog this morning, and he can't design his way out of a wet paper bag. He just can't. But from a developer perspective, he could do anything we needed to do around physics models or linking up things that with JScript would have been highly inefficient, just performance-wise.
Well, I mean, obviously the benefit of C# version. I mean, basically, Silverlight is a cross-platform CLR. It's highly tuned for the web.
Exactly.
Right? So it's small, has a subset of functionality. It doesn't have the full CLR functionality.
Right.
Has a lot, though. And you get to write in C#, and you have great debugging tools and Visual Studio support. I mean, that's great stuff for developers.
Yeah, for me, I mean, the JavaScript stuff is interesting, but just in terms of the language itself, it feels like a step backwards from C#. So I wouldn't have preferred it. And the 1.1 product is much more exciting to me than the 1.0 product.
Sure. That's cool. So let's take a look at this, and you can tell us what's going on. We can start digging into this thing. So there's the black screen with the Windows Vista logo. Wow, nice. That's cool that you pulled that off. All right, so this is zero gravity. And we press play.
So what we did was we wanted the game experience to be very tight. So we didn't want a lot of the assets downloaded at runtime as the game begins and as it progresses.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these elements, they're all vector assets, except for a couple that are actually PNGs, a couple of JPEGs. But we wanted it to be a very cohesive gameplay experience.
Okay.
So all of these things, like, you know, these vector assets here, the XAML that defines these elements for the UI, they're all preloaded in that preloader that you saw, and then they're initialized at runtime.
Mm-hmm.
So normally what you would see in a CivilEye application is something like this would load, and these things would pop in kind of like the way you would see in a website as, you know, elements load. We didn't want that. So.
Okay.
All the stuff is downloaded at the beginning in that preloader, and then all of these things are built dynamically.
Excellent. I mean, and that, of course, has implications for performance and experience as well, right? I mean,
that's
kind of like the equivalent of downloading images in an array in JScript when
right.
you come to a site, right?
Exactly.
It's the same concept.
Exactly.
Cool.
So we wanted it to be really tight. So like Scott was saying, we wanted to push a lot of the things that Silverlight can do, and media is one of the big things. So you can hear the background sounds, and then we had this WMV movie that we wanted to put in there for the transition between the levels to try to give it some context of what the main character, Lieutenant Bennett, is doing. So unfortunately, he's pretty clumsy, and he continuously rams into asteroids over and over again.
Okay.
But you can see there that there's some animation occurring over the animation itself. So the WMV is actually playing, but then it's being tweened with its opacity, so it's fading in and it's fading out.
Nice.
So, I don't think I can actually control this. So this is the basic gameplay. So Lieutenant Bennett just maneuvers around the grid, trying to get to his ship so he can progress to the next level, you know. Ultimately, he wants to make it home, but there's so many asteroids in space, and he just is magnetically attracted to them. You can interrupt that if you want.
No, that's
skip through it.
No, that's cool.
And so these first levels are kind of an introduction to the game and its components, give you an idea of what the game's elements do and how they operate. So these are teleporters and tubes that allow you to warp from one position on the game board to another or change direction by 90 degrees.
Nice.
This is a switch paddles and buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set up a switch button and then an arbitrary number of paddles associated with it. You can set which direction you want them to rotate when the buttons are hit. Then they go through a little animation as they move.
That's awesome. Nice job. Of course, you know how to play this game really well, I
imagine. Yeah. I purposely never played the game once it went live because I would just probably bang out a high score, and then, you know, I didn't want to defeat the purpose of the top score ticker, you know, because that's one of the main things that
So let's talk a little bit about, like, so what I hear right now is I'm seeing, so the graphical sort of fabric that we have here, that's so XAML.
Mm-hmm. It's all vector.
All vector based, and you have a movie playing for the transitions, and then you have an audio track going on as well. And how was that implemented? I mean,
they're all the media elements all use the same underlying technology in the Silverlight platform. It's called a media element.
Mm-hmm.
And the WMV is on the display list, and it's actually showing the media element is loaded with the WMV, and that's how you get the animation. The sounds are just loaded with MP3s.
Sure. Very cool.
So they're played as the elements on the game board are interacted with. So each one is a custom control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with those, but each one of these elements, you know, the player, the breakable blocks, the ship, they're all custom controls. And so as they're interacted with during gameplay, they have all the code in them, basically, to play their animations, to play their sounds, to do all the things that they end up needing to do
sure.
in the course of gameplay.
Via events, yeah. obviously. Just standard programming stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So now, you know, one of the things that Silverlight supports, 1.1, is system.threading. Mm-hmm. So are you using that explicitly for your asynchronous operations?
No. It's this application is single-threaded.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the point is it's something that could be done.
Definitely. Right. Yeah, when I found that out, when I discovered it, I was impressed by the fact that that facility was available.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Also, the explicit control, the garbage collector. I was impressed that that's available as well.
So, yeah, but you want to be careful calling GC Collect.
I know, but
you know
the
that.
Fact that it's there still impressed me.
It is. Those guys are amazing. In fact, Patrick DeSoud will be on Channel 9 soon talking about the garbage collector.
Oh, cool.
Because, of course, they had to do some work
for
the one in Silverlight.
Yeah, from what I understand, the porting of the libraries from the normal CLR over to this one is not a straightforward process.
It's not. Got it. Correct. 100% correct. I mean, it's just amazing to look at this and think that you wrote this in C#. So, you know, I know one of the things that I'm really interested in is to really get a sense of your experience. I mean, you mentioned already you like C#, right? You're used to it. It's a imperative language that's sort of easy to program in. It's not a functional language. It should be more complicated yet more powerful.
Right.
So, you know, and then of course XML or XAML. Let's talk a little bit about being a developer and also, you know, so you're writing XAML, which is just markup, and then you're writing code behind it. Sort of a traditional model that Avalon had, it was all about, right? You have the Avalon and WPF.
Oh, I gotcha.
Okay. I like Avalon better than WPF. I'm sorry that I said that to
Dr.
Sneak.
Yeah, I was like, Avalon, what?
Yeah, what's Avalon? Good, did you even know that?
No, I didn't.
Perfect. Oops. Man, Dr. Steed's going to be upset with that.
You haven't done any WPF work for us, have you?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I think we're doing one WPF kiosk right now and some other stuff, but you had never touched WPF or Silverlight at all until this game.
Not before I started building this now.
Yeah, but so now he's going to be able to do WPF. I mean, it'll look somewhat familiar. It's obviously not the same.
Yeah. Actually, moving into WPF, I think, would give you, at least from a Silverlight perspective, a larger set of tools.
Absolutely. And, for example, this game could be a downloadable game.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a smart client, and you could have, you know, you could play around with the hardcore asynchronicity or asynchronousness, as well as having other game, like, multiple players could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas out there for additional tiles.
Mm-hmm.
So you could add new elements into the game to change the gameplay, all kinds of stuff.
So you're a Flash developer, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm in the business of evangelism, not marketing, so I'm not going to ask, like, you know, what's Flash, you know, make Flash versus WPFE or Silverlight, but I would like to get a sense of your experience and difference. I mean, you said you use ActionScript for Flash, right?
Yeah.
So that's a scripting language.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the power of compile runtime.
No.
So let's talk a little bit about your experience with the two. I mean, what?
I'd say that overall, my experience with Silverlight, like I said, was positive. It was
mm-hmm.
good. It was a good experience. It was a good learning process. Just the ability to use a different system to try to build these things and express these things was interesting because up until then, I had only been given the ability to do that via ActionScript.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some pitfalls during the process, and I attribute most of those to the fact that it's still an alpha release.
Sure, but what are some of those pitfalls? I mean,
there's just a lot of gotchas out there. A lot of it stems from the fact that the subset that is available for Silverlight of WPF and of the CLR isn't what you would want it to be yet.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's great feedback.
Well, but, like, what kind of stuff is missing? Like, I know we don't even have basic, like, isn't there, like, there's no text box, right?
There's no text box control.
So there's some, like, common controls that we take for granted, I think.
Right. In the Flash Flex world, you know, things like controls, like text boxes, combo boxes, you know, things like that. Those are kind of taken for granted at this point. Containers. You can actually see in the game that it's got a liquid layout.
Nice. All right.
So as you resize the game, it takes advantage of the vector-based, you know, facilities of XAML.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's scaled proportionately.
Nice.
And it kind of lays itself out in this liquid manner, so it's always trying to give you the most of the game board that it's got available, preserving the aspect ratio of the board itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's done with custom code, whereas in a traditional Flex environment, that could be done with a container. So it's provided to you by the framework itself.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that kind of drag the efficiency of Silverlight development, or at least drag it for me. Mm-hmm. But all of those issues, all those gaps, all those holes, I know are going to be filled mm-hmm. once the 1.0 product reaches full release. They may probably even be filled during the beta.
Sure. So. But, I mean, it's feedback like this and people using the alpha that we absolutely require. I mean, it's
definitely.
We need to know what you guys
yeah.
need to know.
I think, yeah. Like Scott said, we were at a presentation at MIX a week or two ago, and one of the things...
Oh, not at MIX, at the...
not MIX,
Uber,
yeah,
meeting.
That's right, sorry. Scott Guthrie was there, and one of the things he was talking about was Silverlight. And he just pounded on the fact that, you know, controls, containers, these types of things will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other more advanced things that exist in the Flex framework, like data binding and scanning, mm-hmm. Those were mentioned as well. So that leads me to believe that the direction Silverlight's taking is a good one.
Absolutely. Well, this is a really cool application, and it's give people the URL. I mean, do you have any plan on releasing the source code or helping people understand what you did?
Yeah,
so as an example.
Right now, I think that was always a part of the plan. Our Southwest rep, Tim Heuer. For Dev,
yeah.
The guy that, yeah, Tim Heuer is a great guy. So Tim Heuer, throughout this whole process, helped us out with any roadblock we came onto.
Mm-hmm.
Tim would either find the answer or tell us, you know, can't do it, but here's a way to get around it. Mm-hmm. But we've been talking a lot about what's the right way to leverage the community, you know, let the community leverage what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, depending on what the community wants, we might release blocks of code
mm-hmm.
for them to leverage. But there's still some reasons why we won't just put the whole thing out right now. I think we're looking to do a contest where you do some giveaways and things like that, that if you had the source code, I'm pretty sure that it would be a little bit easier to do that. And I think we want to clean it up a little bit, too.
Sure.
Casey wants to sit down with our director of technology and look over some of the code and make sure that it's as efficient as it can be, even though it performs fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the long-term plan is definitely to release the code. And we're getting a lot of interest from the Microsoft community. The character has his own MySpace page and Twitter account and
nice.
Facebook profile. And he gets people talk to him and send him things and ask him questions and want to know how he did different things. And so we're definitely going to be pushing out as much as we can to the community.
That's really interesting. I mean, that brings up because you're using the framework, essentially, or subset of it, I mean, there's very interesting things you could do with interaction with users, right? So, for example, a user could communicate with this guy via web services or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, remote control, or have multiple instances of him running around and
mm-hmm.
who knows. But, I mean, there's some very interesting things that could be done. I'm sure you're already thinking about it.
Yeah, we've got some ideas.
And interaction is something that I think is often lacking in sort of the web game. I mean, you're on the web, you're in the internet, you have all this data, the possibilities of interacting with data is endless,
yeah.
and other people.
Yeah, but
and
oftentimes the experience is kind of sterile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, did you mention the level editor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that we'd like to probably, if we're going to do that, and so it's publicly, it's a good tool for the public. Right now we know what its deficiencies are and we can deal with it, but it would be great to publish a version that, and we've done this with other clients before where we'll publish a game that you can host on your blog and have your own high score list just for your friends on your blog.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make your own levels and create your own version of the game that people could come be challenged by a completely different set of levels.
Cool. Well, this is great stuff, you guys. It's exciting. I mean, and again, this is C#. Love it.
I hope it's fun.
CLR.
I hope that anybody who goes out and actually plays the game is more interested in the game itself and not the fact that it's part of, you know, the Silverlight, you know, tech and all of that stuff, and just
mm-hmm.
kind of just let that fall to the background and
mm-hmm.
just experience the game and just enjoy it.
Agreed. On that point, I mean, that's a great point. But this is Channel 9, so we'd like to dig in a little
definitely,
bit.
But
you're right. I mean, you should enjoy the game. I mean, the idea is of any good technology is you shouldn't have to think about it.
Exactly.
Right? The guys in Windows don't want you to really spend a lot of time thinking about what's going on in the kernel. If you are, then there's a problem.
That's what I'm aiming for here.
Outstanding. And you're a developer designer.
Mainly
developer.
Yeah.
Mainly so let's
developer.
Talk about that real quickly. I know that's something that's kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned earlier, there's sort of this whole kind of movement of bringing developers and designers to the same level, right? Sitting in the same class.
As close together as possible.
Exactly. So what was your experience like working with designers? Did they use tools and hand you off these compiled XAML files, or what was it?
Yeah. The UI designers primarily started in expression design,
cool.
built their assets there, and the animators primarily started in expression blend, built their assets there.
Hmm.
So then the design elements were then imported to blend, animated there, and then exported to XAML that I brought into the game.
Really cool. And what was the interaction like? So I've always been curious about that. Like if a designer hands me, you know, a blob of XAML,
mm-hmm.
and I stick it into my development tool so I can see the UI, then of course I have to do the work of coding, making it like operate.
Right.
What was that like?
Well, I actually had to run Blend and Orcus on my machine so that I could make that transition because it was a learning process for the designers as much as it was a learning process for me. I mean, a lot of them had never seen any of the expression suite before this.
Huh.
So they were kind of blindsided with it the same way that I was. So that process could definitely be refined, the one that we went through. But yeah, they would hand over chunks of XAML to me. The animators would give me individual game elements like the blocks, the player, all the player's animations as he's jumping left or jumping right or whatever, the ship, its animation as its, you know, thrusters flaring out and things like that.
Mm.
And so what I would do then is basically, I had to do a little bit of refactoring on it to get it into full serverlight compliance because we were using a slightly older version of the Blend CTP, and they're not as closely synced up right now as you would like them to be.
Have we found out about the new version of the new code base or the new release of Blend after the project was done?
Yeah.
But it was there. It would have been good to have it to see how it would have done for us. But
yeah, we were running a version of Blend that was probably 16 back from the public build right now, the public CPT.
Wow.
So that probably caused some of our inefficiencies. But anyway, once I had done that refactoring, I would just program it in Visual Studio.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I know that Blend kind of provides you some tools to do some of the programming. You can open the same C# project that you've got or that you've built maybe in Orcus, in Blend, and vice versa. But none of the designers worried about any sort of scripting or anything. The most that they did was set up storyboards.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about your company. I mean, got you here. I mean, you're the director of strategy now. You're the mouthpiece.
All right, let's see. TerraLever was formed in 2001 or 2002. I'm not sure.
That's
By two guys, Chris Johnson and Andy Richter. And basically what they had seen in the industry working on internet-based projects is so many projects that should have a marketing focus are being run by the IT department as opposed to the marketing department. So what our company really focused on was deep technical knowledge, and the founders and pretty much everybody we hired is a .NET background person. But using that deep technical background to work with designers, animators, strategists, and marketers to really use technology to do the best marketing possible for our customers. So depending on what the customer is trying to do, whether it's sell something or gain market share or mind share or promote an event, so it really leads us to do a ton of different types of work. So we do some game development. We do a lot of websites.
Mm-hmm.
We do e-commerce. Like I said earlier, gadgets, widgets.
Cool.
We do online marketing like SEO and pay-per-click. And so
we've done a couple of full-blown RIAs as well.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out.
What's RIA?
Rich Internet Application.
Okay.
Don't you guys call it something different?
RIA, maybe?
No, you guys call it Rich Something Else Application.
I'm not sure what the marketing hyperbole is. I mean, I think it's...
one calls it internet, one calls it interactive. I thought you guys were interactive.
It doesn't matter.
We're talking about the same thing.
I mean, so that was basically a web app. I mean, this is a... Why isn't this I mean, it's a game. It's certainly
it
rich interaction.
It is, essentially.
Yeah.
But more traditional types of
applications.
The one that I'm thinking of specifically is a photo processing application.
Sure.
We basically... And this was one of the first large-scale projects that TerraLever did, but we built a... we had a customer that uses Indigo Presses to do their printing, and they run them straight from digital files. So we work with them to build a process where you basically build a book online with photographs. And it sounds akin to something you get from Sony Image Station or, mm-hmm. or those kind of providers, or what's the site that Kodak has?
I don't know.
Photo or those kind of sites, but it's not that type of a book. It actually it does short runs that are totally price conscious of actual coffee table books with correct perfect binding and everything that. And that was a big complicated system where it was a lot of technology, but it was all about the user experience and making it a seamless process.
Excellent. I mean, you mentioned those two key words, like now we're in the age of user experience, and clearly, you know, 3D capabilities in Silverlight, mostly 3D. I mean, you can make it look like 3D.
You can. From what I understood, there was some 3D XAML stuff in Blend or in Design that was removed for the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's going to come back in as some low-level stuff. But I have seen some people do some 3D kind of manipulations with polygons, the base polygon structure in Silverlight. So they'll have the traditional teapot that you see in 3D models, like rotating around and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And if there's rigs of rods, check out the Brian Beckman interview on Channel 9.
Yeah.
You should definitely check that out.
Right. Okay.
It's a really excellent conversation about the physics behind, the math behind the physics behind what you experience in games, like tire physics, much more complicated than the physics of an airplane in terms of motion.
Interesting.
Which is something that you really don't think about, but as it's explained mathematically, it makes perfect sense. But towards the end of that interview, he shows an example of this 3D implementation, rigs of rods, which is this really brilliant idea that somebody, I can't remember the guy's name, came up with for implementing realistic 3D. So I'd highly recommend checking that out.
Cool.
You know, you're probably...
I'll do it.
You'll dig that. And Brian Beckman's great. So...
Sweet.
I just wanted to say, so hey, thank you guys for coming around.
Thank you.
I
mean,
thanks for having us.
I know you're up here. This is sort of impromptu, but that's good stuff for Channel 9.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to see what you guys continue doing with Silverlight, taking it to the next level. Scott and team need your feedback.
Okay.
So just give it to them, right? They need to hear it. And that's, you know, the screen is blank right now, but now it's not. And it's a very cool game written in C#.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love it. And runs in Internet Explorer and Firefox.
And Safari.
And Safari. So that means the Mac. Although Safari runs on Windows now, right?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
It's in beta, I think.
So we have Windows and the Mac and various browsers.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's these Moonlight people that have done some
the
pretty interesting work.
Yeah. That should be interesting as well.
But your code should just work.
Yes,
yep, hopefully.
So we'll see. Anyway, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I'm sure you got
thank
things
you.
To do.
It's been fun.
All right. Take care. Nice meeting you.
You
good
too.
Work.